The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
But first, Ireland is one of the fastest growing ageing countries in Europe, with new research highlighting how we lack social and healthcare needs for older people. According to Tilda, the Irish Longitudinal Study on Ageing, which found that many older adults remain undiagnosed for various conditions, and depression is absolutely rarely reported at all. But loneliness levels, that's the good news, have dropped back to pre-pandemic levels. I'm joined by the principal investigator for Tilda, Roseanne Kenny. Good morning and welcome.
Thank you.
Will you remind us of exactly what Tilda is and what it does?
So Tilda stands for the Irish Longitudinal Study on Ageing. We started collecting data in the community in 2009, and we collect data from the same people every 2 years to try and understand what's the experience of ageing in Ireland? What does it look like? What does the process of ageing look like? We ask questions. Do you have high blood pressure, for example? But we also bring people to the Health Assessment Centre in Trinity, where we do objective measures. We measure blood pressure.
You may think you have or have not. Yeah. But you may not be bothered going to the doctor or whatever and know for sure.
Yeah.
So you check them.
That's right. And that's what's given us this very, very valuable data. So we know that almost half of people in Ireland who do have high blood pressure aren't aware that they have high
blood
pressure.
What's your sample size?
The sample size we started with was 8,500 people, and we've refreshed the sample now, so we're studying 10,500 people. It's very representative. At baseline, it represented 1 in 156 people over 50 in Ireland.
OK, so it's a pretty large sample. I mean, we get political polling on 1,000 people. So when you've got 10,500 people, it's a very significant sample.
Well, the other thing that's unique about the sample, Pat, is it's representative. That means we went to the trouble of randomly selecting 30,000 addresses and then cold called on 30,000 to randomly identify the cohort we needed over 50. So it's very unique in that context.
Now, the headlines, and they're all over the newspapers today, you're making so many stories for print media. They're quite interesting in terms of the care needs that going forward that we are not prepared at the moment to fulfil.
No, and actually we already have an issue as we speak, and it is going to escalate. We are the fastest ageing country in EU27. The number of people in our country over the age of 60 will increase by 60%, whereas the number under 18 will decline by 20% over the next 15 years. And that doesn't mean we've 15 years to prepare. It means year on year over the next 15 years. That's what we're looking at. So we really, really need to take these statistics seriously. The point is that we've identified disorders, diseases, which are treatable. I mean, that's good news, but it's how do we get to people and how do we ensure that people recognise they have these conditions and are on the correct treatment and targets?
You talk about the four M's. What are those?
This is a nice initiative that has been introduced by the HSE. You know, what matters to people? So it's mobility. How are you moving? Memory. What's your memory like, obviously? What medications are you on? And what matters to you? That's the four M's. So every healthcare professional that comes in contact with someone over the age of 50 or 60 will actually ensure that those four areas are covered. Now, our study has actually shown, however, with respect to medications, for example, that the number of drugs which make you more likely to have falls has increased by 17%. So identifying medications is one thing, but the healthcare...
Explain that. Are you talking about people being dizzy or groggy?
Yeah,
or
dizzy, groggy, or some medications like sleeping medications or medications for mood interfere with the pathways in the brain that govern your gait and balance and make you more likely to have a fall. So there are what we call FRIDs, fall-related drugs, which are not recommended as people get older. And those drugs have increased by 17%.
Now, your gateway to those drugs is through your GP. Our GP is not aware of the fact that they may be inducing falls in their patients.
Either not aware, introducing those medications, or aren't constantly reviewing medications. Some people are on these drugs for many years. No longer necessary, and it's not being the drugs aren't being reviewed or screened. You know, and we have a crisis again in general practice. We've only 4,500 GPs in the country. A number of practices have unfilled posts. You know, so there's a pressure point there for GPs.
Now, in terms of people finding out what conditions they may have, often someone will discover osteoporosis only when they have a broken bone.
Yeah.
And it turns out that their bone quality is not great.
Yeah.
Is there any program that would encourage people to get those tests?
So I'm a clinician, and my recommendation is that everybody women over 50 require a DEXA scan. That's the best way of making the diagnosis. Every 5 years, at least. In the States, it's every 3 years. So I think one way of addressing this, and I'm hoping that the report will do this, is raising awareness. People to be aware of their blood pressure, aware of cholesterol, aware, as you've rightly highlighted, of bone density, because a fracture is a really bad thing at any stage, but particularly as you get older. Aware of your diabetes status, you know, undiagnosed diabetes, or diabetes that was being treated, but again, the blood markers we use, not within target ranges, you know. So that's like being untreated almost.
What about cholesterol?
Yeah. So 45% of people who had high cholesterol weren't aware that they had high cholesterol. Again, easily treated. Every year, one should have blood pressure checked, cholesterol checked, and diabetes blood test done.
Inevitably, though, people will need hospitalisation as they age, and they'll need care. What are the demographics telling us about that deficit?
So, first of all, this from the screening perspective, with respect to the diseases we've talked about there, the commonest causes of stroke and of dementia, and they're the two big things that actually incur delayed discharge from hospital or indeed nursing home care. Nobody wants that. If you ask people, how do you want to look? Think how you want to look in your last 10 years. One entrepreneur said to me, I want to walk to my grave and I want to remember which one I picked. Memory and mobility. They're the two big things, okay?
I'm sure that entrepreneur said, I also want my last check to bounce.
Well, poor old Chuck Feeney said that. He wanted his last check to bounce. But so our hospitals need to be much more age-attuned so that people, when they get into hospital, are addressed rapidly. I think a one-site, one-stop service is what we should be focusing on so that we haven't got delayed discharge, which we know is bad for people as they get older. Frailty sets in very quickly. Get people out as soon as possible. So age-attuned hospital services and better screening systems, either in general practice or maybe utilising pharmacies or nurse-led screening processes.
Pharmacies, you mentioned also in your report that they can have a more developed role to play.
Well, that's just a suggestion we're making. We've no evidence for that. But trying to find solutions.
Well, the pharmacists will tell you that they are willing to do far more.
Well, in my own personal opinion, is that they could contribute hugely to the system. Mm. Pharmacists know a lot about medications and having the right medications, what the indications are, and the whole issue with the drug risk medications, pharmacists are in a perfect position to actually deal with those.
One of the issues, of course, is that specializations have narrowed incredibly over the years. I mean, you might have someone who specializes in the little toe and someone who specializes in the big toe.
Yeah.
When you might really be better off with someone who specialises in the foot.
So you've actually hit the nail on the head when we come to age-attuned. And the data actually shows that diseases cluster. So when we're talking about hypertension, the person with hypertension is very likely also to have high cholesterol, arthritis and osteoporosis. Believe it or not, those three go together. And yet you rarely check for all four when you see an individual. Geriatricians do, and geriatric medicine does. That's the ethos behind geriatric medicine.
So the idea that you might be going to a number of different specialist consultants for all your different conditions, and there's never a case conference.
Absolutely. And that's where you get drugs contradicting each other, etc.
The pharmacist comes in and says, what are you doing taking those two together? Did your GP do that? And you say, no, it wasn't the GP, it was X and Y.
Yeah, you're so right. That's right. So it's a holistic way. That's where I come back to age-attuned services and also one site, one stop. So you're not going around to lots of different specialists. That's very hard to navigate and very confusing for patients, actually. It isn't a holistic approach and it is not the best thing for the patient.
The GP stands for general practitioner, which means he or she is a generalist.
Yes.
But the old idea of the complete physician who would have a holistic approach to things, that day seems to be long gone.
So that holistic physician now is the geriatrician. And we are appointing more and more geriatricians, but we need more because that's what their role is. Geriatricians should be seeing all older patients, and then identifying if a specialist needs to come in and do X, Y, and Z. Mm. But they should be the ones who have holistic overall responsibility for the patient.
I mean, it is extraordinary, the disimprovement in someone's observed condition. And it can be due to simple things like inadequate nutrition or inappropriate nutrition. It can be to do with never going out because you don't have any friends.
Yeah.
Therefore, your mobility suffers and so on and so forth.
Yeah, yeah. Mobility is a huge issue, and encouraging mobility. And sometimes we're inclined to think, oh, it's my age, what, you know, I can't do this. But I encourage people, do more every year after 50, not less. Have that frame of mind and mentality, and you can. And the more you trigger muscle strength and keep working on muscles, the less likely you are to have falls or decline mobility.
That is a huge variation in the way people age. I mean, I was watching CNN last night and I saw Michael Heseltine being interviewed. Yeah. And just out of curiosity, he was talking about a new book he'd just written, checked his age, 92.
Yeah.
And as sharp as a pin.
The lion. I think they used to refer to him as sharp as a pin. So he's clearly keeping his brain very active, but he also probably has great purpose in his day. I mean, writing a book at 92, and also attitude is, we know for super agers, which he probably is, attitude is a big issue.
David Attenborough would be another case in point. What about that dependency ratio that we talked about? You know, the affordability of all of these programs, which have to be instituted. But if you don't have enough taxpayers to pay the bills, what then?
You see, the problem is that the expense is actually at the other end. If you get the screening, et cetera, right, and you delay diseases and compress the period of time at the end of life that someone will spend with disability, as it were, that's actually better. This has been shown in many financial studies. That's actually better for your services, health and social services, in terms of cost.
So they might be sicker when they finally get there, but they've been well up to this.
They have a longer period of time in good health rather than sick health. At the moment, although we're living longer and lifespan is increasing, health span isn't keeping pace. In Ireland, we spend the last 14 years with the disease or disability of our lives, which impacts on quality of life.
So if you could extend the healthy range of life.
Yeah, health span. If we could do, and everything we're suggesting in terms of screening will do that.
Now, the question of depression, depression that is treated, but also depression that is undiagnosed.
What was very interesting is half of those who we checked objectively and had, according to criteria, a depression, actually had never discussed with a healthcare professional, much less a GP, etc. So it's being aware that this can be treated. The treatment can be very short term for a number of months only, and it is worth doing because mood it actually has a negative impact on everything else and a knock-on on your mobility and your socialization and social engagement.
Now, people often criticize those who say depression, why don't you just get up out of bed and do something? That is not the way to treat depression.
No, I mean, depression is it's a biochemical disorder.
But now we get back to that thing you talked about at the very beginning, that some of the treatments for this will lead to falls, perhaps.
So, I mean, awareness of that, the treatments are for a short period of time. Some treatments are less likely to do that than others and be equally as effective on mood. So it's an informed intervention. It works and it doesn't increase your risk if it's monitored properly.
One interesting, I don't know whether this is a key finding, but loneliness, marriage is a cure.
Well, no, married people were less likely to experience loneliness. Yes, it was much rarer.
You're not recommending that those who are not married or are widowed should have a go again.
I haven't looked at it as a cure, but it makes a difference. And, you know, we're gregarious animals. We need people. That's how we've evolved. So however you do that, it's important to do that. Now, that comes back to we've shown it with respect to marriage. We do know from our previous work that your community is very important. Being involved in the community, again, feeling a purpose and engagement in community makes a big indent on any loneliness that one experiences. And they're not expensive things if communities are active and encouraging
people
to join.
There are some people, though, who are alone a lot of the time and are not lonely, and vice versa.
That's fine. And we've looked at that. I mean, that's a different thing. Loneliness is a painful biological response to wanting to be engaged with someone or something. Social isolation, lots of people like to be socially isolated and don't feel lonely when they are.
Now, these are very important findings and very enlightening findings. What is to be done with those findings?
Well, we're launching the report at 5:30 this evening in Trinity. We have members of HSE attending and the Department of Health. I really think policymakers need to get behind this information. The HSE are already very engaged in the observations, and we need to think how we can repurpose what we're doing at the moment, or we will not be able to cope.
The costs.
We haven't actually done a cost analysis on all of this. It's possible to do that, and I'm sure our colleagues now will be embarking on that within the HSE, because, I mean, that's what we get all of the time, the cost of this. What I'm saying to you is that there's good evidence from elsewhere to show that if you extend healthy lifespan, which all of these initiatives will do, that is actually a better use of resources, cost resources, than long-term care or hospitalizations.
There's often a principle in science, which is that in order to measure, you sometimes have to destroy. And for example, if you want to test the strength of concrete, you destroy the concrete block in that test. When you involve people in your survey, I mean, they now have, if you like, a new friend. I mean, does it impact on their loneliness scores, for example?
Actually, do you know, that's a really interesting observation, because some people who have come up, and we try and meet, you know, obviously we meet everybody when they come for the objective health assessment, actually love coming up and engaging again with our staff. We have nursing staff who do the health assessments, and it's almost, it appears for some to be a very enjoyable experience. We do give information back to participants, and this next health draw we're giving even more. More information.
Because that was the question. Yeah. If you discover in your cohort that so many people have blood pressure and they go happily about their business until they get a stroke, do you know, do you have any responsibility in that regard to, you know, keep an eye on them?
We absolutely give all of that information back. Once the assessment is done, the participant gets that information. All of those key findings that we've identified today, people have got that information. It doesn't make a huge difference to their behaviours, which is very interesting. And that may be where our services need to be remodeled so that it's easy to access. I think we have to give people a choice. You can walk into your pharmacy and have all of those screening tests done. You can go to a nurse-led health assessment clinic in your GP. You don't have to trouble the GP unless the nurse wants to trigger something with the general practitioner. Options for all of this.
And what about gendering in this study? I mean, this story that men will sooner repair their car or organise their laptop to be repaired than they will repair their heart.
Yes. So we didn't find that particular observation. What we did find actually is that women have more illnesses earlier. They're on more medications, but as men get older, they're on more medications than women. So they seem to be aware of it over the age of 70
Is it just that women are finding them earlier than men?
I think they're symptomatic earlier, and men's muscle mass does protect them for a period of time.
Okay, it is fascinating stuff. If people want the detail of this, where do they go?
So we have a report on our website, and it's Wave 6 on the website.
Wave 6 on the website. Roseanne Kenny, Principal Investigator with Tilda, thank you very much.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.